What advice would you have for somebody whose voices are telling them you can't change your old belief systems?
Yeah, in one sentence, I'd say stop mousing around. Stop mousing around. Mousing around meaning stop going, you can't most just change your belief system. You can't most just start believing this. Or people will say, that will most be arrogant if I believe that or talk like that about myself. So stop mousing around. If you notice that voice, it's just a reminder that, oh, it's the old belief system trying to pull me back into staying safe and comfortable. Because the new belief system is about risk and adventure. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fresh Perspective. With me today is Mariki Smit, who represents the broader public, who's got pressing questions to ask me.
Focusing by a majority.
Yeah, the majority of people want to know this. So, Mariki, what's today's question?
Francois, so often we think, or let me say, me.
Yes.
When a few years back, before I knew about life coaching and before I knew why it would be useful, I was at a space in my life where I thought, I there's got to be more. Let me go and see a psychologist.
Okay.
And I went to see a psychologist and we dug deep to find the issues. So I'm using that as an introduction to ask the following question.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've been on the journey of on the clarity quest, on the quest to get clarity,
yeah.
I've realized that there are old belief systems that are holding me back, ways of thinking about life, perceptions about life,
mm-hmm.
That are no longer serving me, and I want to change them.
Yeah.
My question to you is it necessary to know what the root of that old belief system is, what the cause of it is, to treat the symptoms, if that makes sense? Do I need to know where in my life something happened that made me believe the way I believe? Or is it possible to change belief systems on face value, just knowing what the belief system is and what I would rather want it to be? Now, that's a very long question.
That is the longest question ever. Thank you. So the most common beliefs that I think most people can recognize is when we have limiting beliefs, right? Something we believe that stops us from reaching our potential, or taking action or whatever, holding back. Just to be clear on what we mean when we say belief. So that's probably something that most people know about. Is it necessary to know what caused or shaped or, you know, planted the seed of this belief? No. Why not? Because you cannot time travel and change the past. But you can change the meaning of the past. So, you know, sometimes I say you can actually change the past because you are now empowered to give it new meaning. For example, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. My dad was a highly functional alcoholic, but sometimes he would, you know, on a weekend get very drunk. And then sometimes he would go without drinking for a year. I grew up in that environment and we moved a lot. Like I was in 9 primary schools. Would I now go back and change that? No, it's become too valuable to me because it shaped me in certain ways. And I had to take all of that trauma and hurt and transform it into something useful. And it's useful to me now and so valuable to me now that I wouldn't want to change my past. But the meaning of all of that, I've just demonstrated how I've changed it. So I can say, well, that means I'm not confident. That means I will struggle with addiction. That means I wasn't loved. That means this and that means that. Or I can say, well, it's something powerful that I use in my life now. That I'm doing that. So we cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. Secondly, it doesn't matter because sometimes you don't know. You don't know. You were either too small, and then you can only guess. And I've done that work as well. For example, in the attachment phase, which is 0 to 18 months, where you as a little baby needs warm and constant affection and attention and connection so that you can become emotionally secure. Who remembers what happened then? I don't know anyone that can remember what happened between 0 and 18 months. We don't. So some of us get the warm connection, but it's inconsistent, right? So it's there, then it's gone, then it's there, then it's gone. We tend to become people that cling and hold on to, and when there's something warm and beautiful, we want to grab onto it or figure out what we have to do to make it stay. The flip side of that is where you have the contact, but it's cold. It's not warm. We learn that we should rather look after ourselves, not show emotion, not show needs, for example. So this is just two extremes that manifest in adults that can come from attachment phase wounding, meaning beliefs that you develop as an infant, like a really small baby. So all that we see is the belief manifesting, either by you, I call it the small square, when you learn to, you know, compress your needs and your emotions, or the big jumbler, where you learn to, like, if I make enough noise, I'll get the attention, the warmth I need. And both of those are great coping tools. They serve us very well. But then at one stage, they start sabotaging. And then we are in a place where we can say, okay, what? Why do I, and I'm talking about me as Franco now, because I'm in the small squares box, literally. So why do I hold in? Why do I hold back sharing my emotions and my needs? And I had to do this work a long time ago. Well, I believe that if I show any emotional need, no one will be there. No one will address it. Where did this come from? Yeah, from way back then already. Because I went back and researched my parents' story and what happened. My mom was already 17 when I was born. A 17-year-old teenager cannot be present for a baby. Well, my mom couldn't be. So I can do that, but even if I don't know, even if I couldn't interview my parents and figure all of that out, I can still see this belief is not serving me. It's causing me not to share with my wife. It's causing her to feel left out of my life. And it's because I believe this. And I don't have to understand why I believe it. I can just see, well, it's not healthy. Healthy meaning it's not serving me. What do I change it to? What do I need to change this belief to so I can actually help myself by involving my wife, and that she's just one example in my life, allowing her not to feel shut out of my life, but be involved. And that meant sharing little stories about my day that made me, I noticed, feel anxious, feel like, well, what does this matter? Who cares? And all of those voices I had to notice and say, what do I believe about this? I believe that she'll forget and that'll hurt me. I believe, you know, whatever the belief is. So that's the short answer to the long question, because we can go on about this for quite a while. But really, if you do know, great. If you don't, doesn't matter. But there are certain instances where you're like, we want to make sense of this. So we can explore it a little bit. Maybe we find, oh, it's probably because of this. Or that, like, for example, when I work with couples who's going through or been through infidelity, where there's been an affair, different developmental stages have different kinds of affairs. So it's fascinating. Do the couple have to know all of that theory? No, they don't need all of that theory. I think that's one of the ways that traditional therapy keeps us busy without really helping us, going into theory, but that doesn't serve us. We don't want to become psychologists. We want to know, what do we do now? What's the healthiest way to actually change what's happening in this moment? So we can find those beliefs kind of playing out in the dynamics between the two people, and just find the beliefs and change them. And that's when I say it's like a snap of a finger. It can be that quick where you change something that you feel it's impossible to change in an instant, because you move the focus from, oh, this is actually what I believe about this. No one will be there, to it's a healthy way for me to show up in life. It'll benefit my kids one day if I learn how to do this. My wife really cares about me, and if I don't share, she feels left out. So I can just practice, even if it's, Afrikaans is a great word, lump, you know, very clumsy the way I share it in the beginning. It's okay, I can learn to do this. So I'm repeating, I'm telling a different bunch of beliefs that I created to help me show up like that and share. Even in my coaching or therapy, it's taught me how to share things in a meaningful way, which I think has made me better at what I do, definitely. That's the second part of the short answer.
I wanna ask another follow-up, very short follow-up question, with an example. So let's say an example, and I realize that my belief system is, for instance, I am not good enough in my job. I always feel inferior. I always feel like I can't have self-confidence. Although there's evidence to the contrary, I believe that I am not good enough. Mm. And I think in my head, I realize this is an old belief system. I don't know where it comes from. It doesn't really matter. What I want to believe is I am brilliant at what I do. Mm. And now this voice comes and says, but you know, how are you just going to change your belief system like that? You know, you can't just change your belief systems. Maybe you should find out rather, in a sense, use finding the reason why I have the old belief systems as a crutch or as procrastination to not pursue or not act on creating a new belief system. What advice would you have for somebody whose voices are telling them you can't change your own beliefs, old belief systems? It's impossible.
Yeah, in one sentence, I'd say stop mossing around. Stop mossing around. Mossing around meaning stop going, you can't most just change your belief system. You can't most just start believing this. Or people will say, but that will most be arrogant if I believe that or talk like that about myself. So stop mossing around. Let go of those things. If you notice that voice, it's just a reminder that, oh, it's the old belief system trying to pull me back into staying safe and comfortable. Because the new belief system is about risk and adventure. Me learning to share with my wife, for example, was scary and felt weird and uncomfortable. So whenever I felt like, well, I want to pull back, and sometimes still do, I can notice that and say, well, it's not about if it's interesting to you or you think it'll be interesting to her. Let's tell the story and see. Let her make up her mind about it. And, you know, she can actually respond. And she still laughs at my jokes. I don't know if it's real or not, but I enjoy it anyway when she does. So also, like, if you understand that people will go like this as well, Mariki. I can't most like believe something that's not true. Well, you already believe things that's not true. And they affect your life massively and control massive parts of who you are. But they're not true. So you can create something that you feel this isn't true. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be healthy. It just has to be something that helps you think, feel, and then behave ultimately the way you want to. And whatever you need to create in your belief system that creates the emotions, because the emotions really drive our behavior, that's it. So the real practice and challenge becomes noticing, oh, I'm back in the old, and shifting the focus back to the new. Oh, I'm back into limiting, focus shift to the empowering beliefs. That's the real challenge. So when you feel like, oh, I'm back there, you might think it's evidence that, oh no, this is not working. No, it's a skill that you practice, because your old belief system designed to keep you safe and comfortable will keep pulling you back to that. Amen.
A last question, and this is really a short question. Is it a question of faking it till you make it?
No, I don't think it's fake. It's focus. It's not faking, it's focusing until you make it. So it's really a focus shift. Because, I mean, just the word fake doesn't inspire me. Mm. But focus shift, that you can do. So I'd rather say focus and act, like in being an actor. What would a person that believes this think, feel, and do, and behaving according to that? Because that's really helping you tap into your true self. That's not a fake self. The facade, the protection, the old belief system, the survival instinct, that's fake. That's where you hide your true self or parts of yourself. Because it was designed to keep you safe, to survive. So that's the faking. So stop faking and start focusing, I'd say.
I love that answer. Francois, in the Clarity Quest, we do a lot of work to change your belief systems, to shift your focus, to change your perspective about what you believe, and then to also inspire new action and new thoughts and new beliefs. If somebody wanted to join the Clarity Quest, where would be a good place for them to get in touch?
Very simple to remember. Getclarity.co.za will direct you to a place where you can book a free consultation call, which basically means we get to interview one another. I interview you to understand what the challenge for you is, and if the Clarity Quest or something else maybe might help you, and you get to interview me and see if I'm really the guy for you.
If your jokes are really that funny.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, every person that books a free consultation call, I write a little stand-up routine for. that's enough reason just to book it.
Amazing. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Marikia. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the pressing questions from the public, where we unpack different aspects of life coaching or coaching in general, in terms of even relationships. Thank you, Mariki, for bringing the pressing questions that everyone out there is asking to my attention and helping me unpack them. I'll see you all next time. Bye.